First of all, I'd like to tell how much I enjoy the time spending with God's people celebrating Lord's Supper. And the subject was so appropriate. And it gives me such an easy transition where I'm going to be saying to you. But let me first start tell you how much I appreciate this chapel. How much I appreciate each and one of you. You've been a great blessing to me. Great encouragement. I've experienced great hospitality, and I'm so thankful, Lord, that He has sent me here. I've learned a lot. You've ministered to me a great deal, and actually, long before I even came here, there were some people from this congregation that were such a great blessing for me, and I just want to thank each one of you. I don't know where I don't even want to think where I would be without God's people in my life and God's love for me. I also appreciate the opportunity that has been given to me to talk to you about a very important subject in my life. I'm very excited about the kind of message that we have in our possession to be given away, to be spread around. The fact that this assembly allows, no matter how weak the speaker is, to talk about evangelism and outreach is a good sign. See, we could tear this building down. We could hire a famous preacher. We could build Crystal Cathedral. We could invite some great performers and entertainers. And I think the place would be packed. The problem is that we don't have the money. But even if we did, that's not the kind of people we want to attract. We want to attract people who want to come to know the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Himself is enough for them without any special attraction. In this assembly, we want to invite unbelievers and experience the greatest joy of having them come to Christ and have their lives changed. As the birth of a baby produces a great joy for a couple, and we have seen it lately a lot, and praise God for all these babies. So we want to see spiritual birth in our assembly. That will give great joy and invigorate the life of this assembly even more. I'd like to talk to you about the kind of motivation that helped me share about the love of Christ that we talked about this morning in the Lord's Supper. First one I find in the book of Romans. In chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, I'm a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Your translation might say, I'm obligated or I'm bound, but the Greek literal translation says, I'm a debtor. Why does Paul refer to himself that way? Did he borrow anything from the Romans that he had to return? This is definitely one of the ways of getting in debt. That is by borrowing something. There's another way of getting in debt, and that is by being given money to someone else by a third party. And in that sense, the Paul says that he's a debtor. He was entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ to be returned, to be passed on the Roman people. And he was ready to deliver that message. He was ready to pay his debt. As long as he kept it for himself, the debt remained, he remained a debtor. Does it motivate you? Because it motivates me. Is this motivation too hard for you? It is something that we'll have to grow into it. It took me a while, actually, to learn this principle, learn this motivation. It took me a lot of time and thinking to realize that I'm a debtor to Polish people. And that I have to go back to pay all my debt. It was my life's dream since I remember, maybe I was 12, that I wanted to come to the United States, to come to America. And as the years were going by, it looked like it's impossible because no young people could obtain passports in Poland. And all of a sudden, in 88, I was allowed to have a passport by miracle. I came. My life's dream came true. But as I was realizing it more and more, the Lord was telling me through His Spirit, through His Word, and through testimony of other believers that I might have to go back, and I didn't want to do this. But that's the idea of being a debtor to Polish people that motivates me to go back and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't wanna leave this debt unpaid. There's another motivation that helps me in doing evangelism, in telling people of the Lord. Evangelism can sound maybe too theological for some people, and so I will use different terms interchangeably. Another motivation that helps me is the motivation that comes from realizing that people are in real and present danger. Imagine yourself, it's very hard to imagine it right now because it's very cold and very snowy. But when the spring and the summer comes, imagine that you are sitting in a park having a picnic by yourself and you're enjoying your time. There's wonderful weather. A sky is blue, and you're enjoying this quiet time there. But as you're eating your lunch, you notice that there's somebody else that's pretty close to you. And as you're looking at them, all of a sudden, you see a snake crawling behind that family. You hear the laughter and fun coming from this family. They do not realize that they are in real and present danger. You are the first one that notices it. My question to you is, what would you do? What would you be thinking to yourself? Would you say, I do not know how to communicate to them? After all, I'm not a good communicator. I'm not a bold person anyway. Or certainly, someone else will notice that the snake and will warn this family. After all, I'm not the only person in this park. Furthermore, I don't want to disturb the privacy of this family. Is that what I be thinking? Is that what you be thinking? I'm sure you would not. You feel that warning them is the least thing you can do for them, to warn them and to save them from physical danger. Is it okay to warn people of physical danger? You say, are you crazy? This is a crime not to do it. How come we would be much more willing to warn people about physical dangers and much less are willing to communicate the danger of eternal damnation, the eternal danger of spending eternity without God? People are not only from the danger of the outside world, but they are from the danger of within themselves because they are sinners, they are lost sinners, and they are in danger of spending eternity in hell. It is for that reason that the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven, because He wanted to communicate clearly to people about this tragic place. If this motivation is too dramatic for you, I have another one for you, and that is motivation that comes from finding the greatest treasure in life. This was the first motivation that got me excited about evangelism. Right after I got saved, I was so excited after I got saved about the good news of Jesus Christ. My life up to that point was a search for hope, for something meaningful and something that would give me encouragement and help and hope in life. And I found it. I learned that salvation for which I worked so hard, and that salvation, contrary to the teaching of the Catholic Church, was free. I found the greatest treasure, which was free. I was overjoyed. So I thought that now the whole country, when they hear about it, they're going to respond. They're going to accept this great treasure. I was so theologically naive. Soon I realized that people do not want to find this treasure. They want to have nothing to do with it. Nevertheless, the idea that I have found the greatest treasure has never stopped me from, and the idea that they do not respond to it has never stopped me from telling them about this wonderful treasure. Which of these ideas motivates you? Start with one, and then later you're gonna employ the other one. See, it is important to employ all the other ones that I have just mentioned for me, because there are times when I do not feel like I'm a debtor to people. Sometimes I don't feel like I want to warn them about danger of going to hell. So I need the motivation that comes from knowing that I have something greatest joy and love and treasure that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I do not want, I cannot, I should not, I must not keep it for myself. Do you have any other negatives? From now on, the airplane, when you think about your neighbor, think of snake crawling on the roof of their house. When you think and them seeing you, your moral life will not suffice. You need to warn them. You need to tell them clearly where they stand. You need to tell them about the beautiful treasure that can be found only in you. Maybe they have a lot of cars. Maybe they have great education and life seems okay. They don't have the most important treasure. And finally, think of yourself as indebted to them. And it is not good to have your debt unpaid. Whatever motivation you find helpful, that is the point. That is the point of what I'm saying. Also, it's important that to remember that, as that actually came out when I was talking to Uncle Bill the other day, Pollard, is that there are some people who definitely have the gift of evangelism. And as you look at them, you think, oh, I'm never going to be as effective. And you don't have to. You can be your own unique witness for the Lord. And He will use you in a mighty, mighty way. Now, although I'm not an expert in evangelism, some people ask me, how do you start talking about God? How do you transition a regular conversation about things of this life? How you can transition that conversation into talking about spiritual things? And for sure, that starts with being friendly first. But besides that, you need to be in a spiritual frame of mind. We never take time off in this area. The Lord should be always on our minds and the needs of those who don't know Him yet. First of all, I'd like to tell you a testimony of my growth in this area. In the first couple of years of my life, after I became a Christian, I was very zealous, and I would try to give away as many tracts as I could possibly carry. But I think I needed to grow in the area. And one time I was on the bus, because that's how you travel in those days in Poland all the time. And I saw a man sitting in front of me, and I thought, I gotta tell him about the Lord Jesus. So I didn't take time to think how I can actually tell him. I just got up and went to him, opened my Bible, and showed him a verse from Book of James 1:19. It says, you believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. Poor guy didn't know what to say or what to do. You should have seen his disoriented face. The next example that I'm giving you, hopefully will show that I have grown a little bit in this area. And most recently, when Ann and I were coming back from Seattle on the airplane, I sat next to a businessman. And after small talk, he told me that he was a businessman and he had a business. So I told him how much I admire people who have their own business, because I know it's a lot of headache. It's a lot of work. He told me, yeah, it's very hard, and it's getting harder because the business ethics is getting very bad. So when he used the word ethics, I knew right away that that would be my word, my concept that I used in transitioning the conversation to talking about spiritual things. So I asked him, where do we get our business ethics? And from that on, we had a wonderful time talking about the Lord. Of course, the best evangelist is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the best in transferring people's minds from and transitioning their minds from thinking and talking about earthly things to talking into things of about his father and about his own work and personality. Jesus' example with the Samaritan woman is a great one for me. What is interesting is that he moves rather quickly in transitioning conversation from matters of this life into spiritual things. We know that he did not start his conversation with a Samaritan woman by saying, "You have five husbands, and the one you live with is not your husband." He didn't start the conversation that way. He said, give me a drink. So she gives him a drink. He says, whoever drinks of this drink, of this water, will always thirst. And then he progresses very quickly by saying, whoever drinks of the water I shall give him, he will never thirst. See, sometimes you will, that's the point. You wanna use and make it natural. Use different, as you talk to people, you wanna make it as smooth as possible for them to transition them from talking about earthly things to talking about heavenly things. Because talking about the Lord, it's not easy. It's not easy for people to understand the idea that they need God and they need to be forgiven. So you're not making it as easy as possible for them. But there are some times when you have no time to wait for a concept to give you a transition. So you have to do it without it. I had to do it last Friday. An MCI representative called me to try to transfer me for their plan. And this is the first time when I made an intelligent conversation with people like that, because usually I have no idea what kind of plan we have, and I don't want to just say I'm not interested, so I said, please call my wife. And poor guys, they have to call twice for nothing. So anyway, but when I talked to this lady, I knew what kind of plan we had, and I told her she couldn't give us a better deal, and she told us what kind of deal she could give us. So I told her that, that's not gonna work for me. But I asked her, how was her day going? And she says, my day is going great. She says, probably because I had a lot of coffee. And I thought it was kind of funny. You know, here's a woman who really needs the treasure of life. But anyway, I knew that, you know, that we had nothing to talk about. So, and I wanted to share the gospel with her. So I just told her, I said, do you know why Jesus died for your sins? You know that if you accept him, you spend eternity in heaven with him? That's how a conversation ended. So you would have ended anyway, but I felt I needed to tell her this. So transitions are very important, and look for them. Look, have a spiritual mindset always. Be always in a spiritual frame of mind, and always think to be a representative of Christ. In our time here, I want to both motivate you and encourage you to do evangelism. Because we don't want anybody in this assembly to have excuses not to share about the Lord Jesus Christ, about this great love that we just talked in the Lord's Supper. Make it your desire and ambition to share with your co-workers as soon as you see them, with your family members, with your relatives, with your friends, with your neighbors. You can't see them today, see them tomorrow, and tell them about this greatest love for them. You gotta warn them about danger. You gotta tell them about the greatest treasure in life. And you gotta remember that unless you do these things, you remain a debtor. Invite some of those with whom you shared about the Lord Jesus. Invite them to this assembly. And tell the preacher on Sunday, brother, preach, because I have brought somebody that doesn't know the Lord Jesus. Give the time to you right now. Thank you very much.